Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. I'm looking forward to some great conversation today. I hope you can stick around and join us for the conversation. A question for you, listeners. Where are you given to serve? How are you given to serve? Well, we all probably face that question. Where and how are we given to serve? And some of our friends at River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, face that question as well. How can we serve our neighbors? How has God given us to serve our neighbors? We're going to talk about some ways, a particular way that they found to serve the neighbors in their community here in just a little bit. Also, during the second half of the program, we'll visit again with some of our friends from Orphan Grain Train and talk about the project going on at the LCMS International Center here today in St. Louis, Missouri. Again, another way we are given to serve our neighbors. Hope you can join us for all of that conversation. Oh, I'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. You'll find the CUW logo, Concordia University Wisconsin logo, in our sponsor section. Go click on that. You can find out more about them there. And drop them a note. Say thanks for supporting worldwide KFUO and making Faith and Family a possibility so we can share great stories like this. Joining us by phone today, the Reverend Hans Feeney, pastor at River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. Good morning, Pastor Feeney.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us today. Looking forward to hearing your story.
Thank you so much.
Also joining us by phone today, Katie Feeney, who happens to know Pastor Feeney. I'm not sure how well, but I think she knows him pretty well. And she serves as the director of Swaddling Clothes. We'll find out more about Swaddling Clothes in a little bit. Katie, welcome to Faith and Family. Glad to have the Feeney family with us today and learning more about the River of Life family as well. Pastor, tell us about River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois.
Yeah, it's a congregation. We're probably about an hour southwest of Chicago, depending on traffic. We're just outside of Joliet, Illinois, kind of right by the intersection of Interstates 55 and 80. And the congregation was started in the late 90s or so. I've been there since Christmas of 2010, and we were kind of a smaller congregation in sort of a mission type setting and never kind of quite gotten out of that mode from our founding. And then in the past year or so, we were finally able to purchase a church building. It was originally the Methodist church in our town. It had been a daycare for a number of years. And so in the past year, we were able to get a church building. We've had quite a bit of growth in the last year, both just kind of from new faces, I think, from the time we got into the building, as well as a neighboring LCMS congregation had unfortunately to close down, so we picked up a lot of members from there. So we've kind of, in a very sort of brief window of time, gone from kind of wandering in the wilderness to having our own sacred space and to getting kind of more towards an average mid-size congregation of attendance between kind of 80 and 90 on a weekend.
Well, very good. I'm glad your wandering didn't last, 40 years or anything like that.
It felt like it.
I'm sure.
There from the beginning, and they'll tell you that's a distinction without a difference for them.
Well, I certainly understand, and glad that River of Life Lutheran Church now has a building and a place to meet regularly and to go about the good work that God has given you. Katie, tell us about the community in where River of Life Lutheran Church is.
It's a very small community. Our village backs up to another one called Manuka, and they're not very big even together. It's a very close-knit community. We've got a lot of families, it's a lot of families.
Sure.
And small,
Yeah. Things
like that, so.
Any industry, it's certainly a family community. Any industry, or is there anything that that community is known for or nearby?
Not a lot of people that really know about Shanahan or Manuka. Really, we're kind of the little villages outside of Joliet. Joliet's really kind of the biggest, what
sure.
people around here will call the bigger city.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So where you kind of go in to do all of your shopping and such. So it's... It really is. A lot of people have come out here to retire. That's how it kind of started. But then smaller families moved out here because the school districts are pretty good, and that it's just kind of away from Chicago.
I like, Pastor, how you described it, depending on traffic, an hour and a half or so. But, yeah. In anything in correlation to Chicago is always depending on traffic.
Right.
especially, yes, if you're heading west or southwest like that. Living in the community, Katie, what have you learned about the community, gotten to know about the community since the Feenies have been there?
You know, I love it. I wasn't sure. We came here originally from Denver, and so it takes me probably about the same time to get to places, but I'm actually driving instead of stuck in traffic the whole time. I love it. I wasn't sure how I was going to be. Where we live is kind of out in the middle of a cornfield. Totally, I love how close everything, everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I also work part-time at the library, so when I'm out and about, I see all the kids that I teach during the week. So it's been great.
You are a part of the community. You're connected to the community, working in the library and being a part of the congregation. You know the community. You know what's going on there. You know what's happening. Let's talk about, Pastor, let's go back to some of the ways that the congregation has tried to serve in the community in the past. What are some of the things that the congregation has sought to do, you know, trying to find their place in the community and how they can serve, how you can serve your neighbor? What were some of the ways that the congregation has tried in the past, and what were the outcomes?
Well, they've always kind of done, I mean, there probably are a number of things. I always kind of find out things after the fact, you know, when you haven't been there the whole time, obviously.
Sure.
You're never quite sure what's gone on before. You know, I think for a little while they tried a preschool, and they just kind of didn't quite have, not having a permanent space made it difficult. And obviously with preschools, you got to have a lot of volunteers, a lot of people who have the time and the talents for carrying that out. For a number of years, we've done things like when we have the summer festivals in both the towns, Shanahan and Manuka. We've had a diaper changing station where we just kind of have a tent set up, and parents whose kids, you know, need a diaper change, they can come, and we don't actually do the work. You wouldn't get any volunteers for it if you had to do that. But we, you know, we've just kind of been there letting people know kind of where things are and, things of that nature. So, but yeah, well, kind of one of the problems we were always facing was just that, there was a very earnest Christian desire to be serving our neighbors and to be playing a major role in the human care in our community. But when you're a smaller group of people, you don't have a whole lot of volunteers, you know, that's kind of always the challenge, is you want to be able to do something, but whatever you do, you want to be able to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's kind of trying to find sort of exactly what that is. And a lot of the projects that, you know, congregations oftentimes do, you know, so we couldn't really do a preschool. Certainly weren't in a position where we could start a school or a daycare. We didn't have the space or the manpower to run a soup kitchen or something of that nature. And so that was sort of the atmosphere that was around, which eventually led us to kind of settling on swaddling clothes as an idea for something to begin.
Katie, how did you discover the needs for this service, for this program, and this outreach? What made it clear that this might be the direction for us to go?
Well, part of my kind of what I do at the library is teach toddler time. So I was listening to these moms, some of whom were in moms groups, and they were able to do more things and afford things for their kids, and some of whom just couldn't. So we listening to them talk and talking to them about different things, enrolling our kids in preschool and meeting other parents. And then also, I think what really kind of cinched it too was Hans and I are both licensed foster care parents.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to the needs that there are, no matter what your community is like. I mean, even if you feel like you live in the ritziest of communities, there are always people that need help.
And having that connection that you have in the community, I'm sure others in the congregation having this connection to the community, you can learn what the needs are in the community. I'm glad you pointed out, no matter what community you live in, there are always needs. Our neighbors all have needs. Even if we live in the most affluent and wealthiest neighborhoods, there are still needs there. And how has God given us to meet those needs? Well, where did... tell us about the beginning, the early days of Swaddling Clothes, and some of the first things that you started with. Who wants to take that, Pastor or Katie?
I'll take that. So the congregation was trying to decide what to do, and like Pastor said before, we have a couple of churches around that have great food banks, and so we wanted to serve. So when he decided this was the way that we should do this, and the congregation was in full support. It was a very small congregation when we got here. There weren't a whole lot of young families, so they loved the idea of helping families. So in the very beginning, we spent 6 months just taking donations of clothing. So we would get out into the community. I would tell people at the library. We would go to village halls. We would to the police stations and fire stations and let them know that we wanted to start this. And we would go to garage sales. Everything. If you don't want to make a donation now, if you weren't going to sell all of your stuff and you were going to donate anyways, please call me. I'll come pick it up. Type thing. So we started just. After about 6 months, we felt like we had enough to last us a couple of months if we didn't get any other donations in the meantime. And we started by opening the doors. It was in April of 2013, and just had tables laid out with clothes by size. And while we had been advertising that we needed donations, we had already been advertising our first shopping event, as we call it. So the congregation has absolutely embraced this, so that we've got people that come in and volunteer every single time that love meeting and chatting with all the families. We've been open for almost 2 years. We have regulars that we'll see now, and we've watched their kids grow. We have others that needed us only for a short period of time. The husband was in between jobs or something, who we still see because they'll come in and donate. So it's an amazing experience.
What were, from the early days, as you said, you've been running for about 2 years now. What were some of the things that you learned from the early days that that you've since been able to perhaps change and improve?
I would say that you're going to come across people. I think what shocked me most is you're going to come across people who don't seem grateful, but they are. So it's learning to take people as they are, establishing relationships with them, where then you can kind of teach them the way that we maybe need, the way that we maybe need to perceive things or be about things or show people that they're grateful or that we care.
Gratitude can be expressed in different ways, and sometimes it's not in the ways that we would most expect it, or perhaps sometimes we find difficulty in expressing gratitude, perhaps because we're embarrassed or we just don't know how to express it.
Right, right. Absolutely. And so this is why we also, I think what's really helped with that too is when a family comes in for the first time, we'll explain to them that we work a lot like a co-op. So if the item is still good to bring back after they're done using it, bring it back. If they have other things that their kids have outgrown, bring it back because it goes back to helping somebody else. And they feel a better sense of themselves. They feel like they're helping. So they're not just getting help, but they're also helping.
Sure. They're a part of this this community service, this outreach, and helping someone else just as well as they're being helped. Yeah,
right.
That makes sense. Pastor, what has the congregation learned from this? How has this, how has the congregation learned and perhaps grown from this? What are the things that have been benefits to the congregation? We've certainly heard that it's been a benefit to the community.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, Swaddling Clothes has been very beneficial in kind of cultivating a proper Lutheran understanding of not only of service but also of evangelism and how we should expect that to work. And I think there's a lot of people kind of have this idea that that doing evangelism is just is a blitzkrieg of inviting people to church and people that you don't know, just walking up to people on the street, handing things out to people, sending flyers out in the mail, knocking on people's doors. When in reality, there's a kind of a deeper connection that Christ really calls us to have with people and to love people and to care about them. And I think one of the things that's been really beneficial with swaddling clothes is that by large numbers, a lot of the families that come in and avail themselves of it don't have any church background, or they may have a church background, but they don't currently belong to a church, and which is oftentimes a key factor in sort of the brokenness that people deal with, and one of the things we've found that's been very helpful in that is. If you kind of go up to people and sort of are immediately kind of giving them the onslaught of information about the church and really trying to pull them in, it kind of gives people the sense that you're not going to, that they're not going to be allowed to take part in the program unless they come to church. Hmm. And when you give people a little bit more distance and you get their information and you're getting to know their names and learning their children's names and interacting with them and their kids, and when you're developing a kind of relationship with them where they can see that you're still going to care for them, you're still going to love them, even if they don't come to church, then it actually frees them to listen a bit more carefully if you're talking to them and you are extending that invitation, if you are, you know, finding some way to get them involved and actually hearing the word. And, that, I think, has been something that's been really beneficial. You know, we did have one family that's come into membership, and we met through swaddling clothes. They have five kids that I baptized on Christmas Eve. And one of the things that's been really great about it is you look at, you know, kind of all of, when you compare all of the families that have come into swaddling clothes versus just the one, you know, that's actually become a part of our congregation, it doesn't seem to be that great of a number. But what I think it has done for people and what it's shown people is, this is a family that we met a number of times, that we talked to a few times, that we had actually, you know, invited the church a couple times before it finally kind of took, and they've now very much become integrated in the life of the congregation. Everyone knows them, you know, rejoices to see them and their kids when they're there. And so I think it's done a really great job of showing the congregation, one, don't give up on people when you invite them to church and they don't come, but just keep loving them, keep caring about them, keep talking to them, and eventually the Holy Spirit very well may do his work of bringing them in to hear the word, and especially in the case of this family, claiming those children in the waters of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit.
That is just so well said, and that is just what our vocation, what our baptismal life is all about, that God gives us in all kinds of different ways and places, but each one of us, whether it be a person or a congregation, gives us a community to live in and ways to serve. They don't have to be all highly spiritualized ways in which we serve in order to show show the love of Jesus, to be hands of mercy in this world. They don't all have to be. It can be simply some clothing.
Right.
Katie, how has swaddling clothes made a difference in the community, not just for the families that receive, from swaddling clothes directly, you know, receiving clothing and supplies that they need for their family, but how has it made a difference in the community? How has the rest of the community received swaddling clothes?
Oh, it is, everybody just loves it. I've spoken to the Rotary Club and Lions Clubs around here that have just embraced this. I get more donations than I think I could ever give away because people love that the things that they're going to give now are going directly to people in their community. So they may not know necessarily somebody in need, but they're going to give it to me because they know that I do. It's been a very, they have, the community has just opened its arms and embraced this program.
To what do you attribute the success of this program? I mean, as you've described it, and from what I've learned about swaddling clothes, it sounds like it's just a win-win situation, and it seems to be going well, going strong now for 2 years. To what do you attribute the success of this program? I'd like to hear from actually both of you on this. We'll start with Katie, and then we'll go to Pastor.
The success. Love and patience. I guess that's kind of a weird answer, except it's just, we started off small. I mean, the program itself, I think we only had four three or four families that first time, and while that might that it was discouraging after the third month only having three families, but I kept telling myself we're still serving those three families, mm-hmm. and the word will get out, and it has, and now we have to be open three times a month in order to accommodate all the people that we have, and it's just I think that those that come and partake of the program feel that we really honestly do care for their well-being. And they then will have spread the word to others that, hey, they're not just throwing stuff at you and kicking you out the door. They're giving you, all that they have. They're looking for, if we don't have something that you need, I'll try to go out and find it. So it's small things like that, I think, that have made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, to what do you attribute the success of Swaddling Clothes in your community?
Well, I think to add on to what Katie said, I have two responses, one of which will make my wife look bad, and then the other will make her look very good. So the first response is I would attribute our success to God.
Sure.
It always makes the person who doesn't say that. No, I'm just giving her a hard time. So obviously we recognize that we recognize that God promises to give us our daily bread, mm-hmm. and to give us clothing and shoes and all that we need, and that kind of one of the things I always try and teach people, when people are learning, for example, in youth confirmation class or whatever it is, about when you're learning about the daily prayer and what does it mean when God or the Lord's Prayer, and what does it mean when God promises to give us our daily bread. How do you view that, when you look at people who don't have enough and they don't have enough to survive? And my response to that oftentimes is, look at what you have. Do you have more than you need? And if the answer is yes, then God gave their daily bread to you, and he's given you the vocation as a neighbor of giving it to them. And so God has filled the hearts of our congregation and many in our community with the desire to do that good and wonderful work. So that's obviously first and foremost, I think, where the credit goes. But also, and I'm not just saying this because we've been married for nearly 10 years and I need to give her a nice nice anniversary present. But my wife truly she's an amazing human being in general. But especially when it comes to knowing how to organize, knowing how to put these things together, knowing how to direct the program, how to expand it, knowing what's not quite working and how to fix it and make it work, she's an absolutely amazing human being at this stuff. She was just, God knit her very DNA in such a way as to run a program like this. And I think if we hadn't had someone running it who had the skill set that Katie does, it might have taken a little bit longer for everything to kind of get functioning the way that it has, and for things to run as well as they do. And that so certainly you have the aspect of it's in order for Swaddling Clothes to work, people need to have their hearts in the right place for it. They need to have their hearts prepared by Christ to do that. But it just in kind of a functional kingdom of the less sense, you also need to just have someone who knows how to run a thing well. And Katie really has been just an amazing, remarkable talent at that.
Our God is a God who works through means, and often that means is you. With the gifts and talents, everything that he's given you, you are the means by which he feeds the neighbor or clothes the neighbor. And it's so great to see that happening there at River of Life Lutheran Church. What a great story.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
What a blessing. Thanks for sharing your story. And I think that serves as encouragement, certainly to me and to our listeners as well, that wherever you're given to serve, look at the community, listen to what the needs are, perhaps... you might be able to be that instrument that means that God uses to serve the neighbor, whether it's to clothe them, to feed them, to listen to them, to care for them, and ultimately to be that person that tells the good news of Jesus to them as well as you've done in your community. Thank you so much for being our guest today, the Reverend Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
And Katie Feeney, director of Swaddling Clothes in Shanahan, Illinois. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with our friends from Orphan Grain Train about a great project that they're working on and all the work that they do at OJT. Stick around for more Faith and Family right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The psalmist once wrote, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing you praise. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased." Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. I'm always in need of strength for my soul, which I receive from God's Word, but also from Christ-centered music. So join me for that unbeatable combination on the next Jubilation, coming up Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If I had a child who was seriously ill, I wouldn't want him to be at Driscoll Children's Hospital in Corpus Christi, Texas. Joey Cronin slipped into a coma after a severe asthma attack. The hospital was quick to want to label him brain dead. The family had to get a court order to keep him on the ventilator and get him a feeding tube. They just wanted to be able to transfer him to somewhere safe. Now Joey's breathing on his own and is wiggling his toes. Sadly, many state laws permit this kind of treatment of patients. You need to know your rights and be aware of how to get help should you be in the same situation. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. You'll find the essential information you need to protect your loved one when they're facing a critical illness.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Celebrate the ministry of Worldwide KFUO during Charathon 2015. Join us April 23rd, 24th, and 25th as we celebrate with some of your favorite on-air friends. Charathon 2015 will be 3 days of fun and faith, along with an opportunity for you to show us your support. Remember to join us for Charathon 2015, April 23rd through 25th. And please, prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Have you ever considered serving as a military chaplain? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking pastors to serve the men and women of the armed forces. If you are up to this challenging but exciting mission opportunity to serve as a military chaplain, contact me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at 314-996-1337, 314-996-1337, or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Sometimes Sing for Joy invites you to sing along with the great hymns and music of the church. On the next program, you might want to whistle along. I hope you'll join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We have some great conversation continuing here on Faith and Family. And as I mentioned earlier, today we're talking about serving your neighbor when and where you're given. And there are some fun things going on here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center today. And part of what's going on with the big event going on here is Orphan Grain Train. So joining me in studio, returning, it was about a year ago that we got to talk, Mike Widholm with Orphan Grain Train. Mike, so good to have you in studio today.
Good to be back.
And you brought your crew with you today in the studio today.
I did. I brought my boss.
That was a good plan. Karen Widholm, thanks so much for joining us today. It's good to have you in studio as well. It's such a pleasure to meet you and looking forward to hearing about your involvement with Orphan Grain Train.
Thank you.
Also joining us in studio today, we were able to wrangle him in away from the project for a little bit today. We have Blake Tilley, LCMS Foundation, Senior Vice President for Marketing and Communications. Did I get that right, Blake?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you in studio. Thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
How's it going out there?
It's going very well.
Yeah?
I believe we are more than halfway done. We have two shifts. So, We're doing well. We've got an afternoon shift that will start at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we also have the can drive that we might talk about as well. Spirits are high. The weather is perfect. And we've got good people working on it.
How long do we get you? Do you have to get back in there right away? Or are we good for a few minutes?
A few minutes.
Okay. Great. All right. Very good. Well, let's start with Orphan Grain Train. What is, and I know we talked about this last year, but what is Orphan Grain Train? Give us an idea of what Orphan Grain Train is and the history there.
Sure.
Mike?
Well, Orphan Grain Train is a humanitarian organization. We serve people who have needs worldwide. Mm-hmm. It started out in 1992. It was the spiritual brain gift to Pastor Ray Wilkie after returning from Latvia. The collapse of the Soviet Republic led to tremendous hardships in what we know now as Far Eastern Europe. When he came back, he had a vision of creating a system of support for those countries. And out of that vision came what we now know as Orphan Grain Train. Orphan Grain Train sends about 150 containers a year from Norfolk, and we also have some subsidiary branches around the country. And then we also ship out approximately 40 truckloads, maybe 50 truckloads a year out of Norfolk, and that stays domestic.
And when we say, when you say containers, we're talking about shipping containers. How big are these containers? And
they're the size of a semi-trailer with no wheels. So typically the ones we load are 40 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 8 or 9 feet tall.
And what are the types of things that are being shipped and sent, and where are they headed?
Well, we receive food, clothing, and medical supplies. Those are the primary constituents in our warehouse, and we ship them all over the world. Most of our recipients are in Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, farther into Asia is Kyrgyzstan, and then African nations. And those vary because of the political upheavals there make it hard to be consistent. We serve where we can get in.
And that is key, where we can get in.
That's
I remember
correct.
Talking about that last year as well, that the relationships, building relationships with the connections, where these things are being shipped, it sounded like it was pretty important.
It is. It's critical that we know who is receiving our inventory. So we only ship to countries where we have a working relationship with the recipient, somebody that we know. Quite often, it's someone from Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. However, not always. We are universal in our operation, non-denominational in our service. But it's just absolutely critical to have someone responsible to receive the cargo, because receiving the cargo is complicated and is fraught with difficulties.
Sure, when you're going from one country to another, I'm sure you have all kinds of customs and the legal issues.
Legal issues beyond description. We've had it happen where a load was legal when it left here. The rules changed while the load was on the high seas, and when it arrived at the receiving country, it no longer complied with their codes. So that leads to expensive modifications in our manifests. Mm. So they never make it easy for us to help their people who need help.
Well, tell us about the project happening here today at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod International Center.
Sure. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit, and I'm going to identify the source. There is a very generous organization from Manhattan, Kansas. I don't think that they would consider this an inappropriate plug. It's GTM Manufacturing. They are a large wholesale distributor of sporting goods. And during the process of their production, they generate a certain amount of overrun, mm-hmm. sometimes mistakes, and they stockpile those overruns for us. We keep a semi-trailer parked at their dock, and about once every 6 weeks, we switch out an empty, take the full one back to Norfolk. And today, here, we are unsorting a load of GTM clothing and resorting it according to our standards so that when we leave here in the morning with this semi-trailer, it will be fully loaded with clothing that is sorted and boxed and almost ready for export. There will be just a little bit of labeling that will be done when we get back to Norfolk. So this is a big help for us.
And so the employees here today are involved with taking the material out. Blake, can you tell us, you're in there with all the action going on. What's going on in the commons here at the LCMS International Center today?
Well, we have several independent workstations, if you will. We have runners who are receiving the raw product mm-hmm. and getting it off the truck, mm-hmm. getting it into these workstations, and then the workers are clipping the tags off of them, sorting them in various boxes of light clothing, and then discarding the old box, putting together a new box, and packaging them all up, and then running them back into the truck. So we've got what appears to be some ant lines coming back and forth from the mm-hmm. truck, and then we have people busy handling the clothing. Mm-hmm. And the whole time, it's nice you hear a lot of talking, a lot of people just having good fellowship. It's very a lot of energy in that room today.
How many people? Any idea how many people are helping out here at the International Center today? How many employees are involved?
We had just under 100 people sign up for mm-hmm. both shifts. Now, we do have a lot of people that see the activity and jump in.
Sure.
And so I would guess there was about 40 to 50 this morning, and we'll have mm-hmm. another 40 to 50 different people this afternoon.
Very good. And just if you pass through the commons today, you can just see all these busy workers just working diligently. But you're right, a lot of people having fun while they're doing it, too. We get to step out of our offices and do something, do this project together today and have some fun doing it. And we've got some other activities going on in conjunction with that, some lunch later on with the staff and having fun doing it. Why is it important for in your opinion, why is it important for us here at the LCMS International Center for staff? You know, the LCMS International Center houses both this building and one across the street, a number of entities that are a part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Why is it important for us as employees, as staff, to do something like this, to do a project like this and partner with Orphan Grain Train and other organizations?
Well, there's two primary reasons, and in my opinion, and you all identified it early on, and that's relationships. We all have relationships, personal relationships, but we also have professional relationships. And the services of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod do not overlap. You have Concordia Plans, you have LCEF, you have the Foundation, and then you have Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so when you get to know your coworkers in other corporations, you learn about what they do, you learn about the ministry that they provide, the mission of that corporation. And quite often afterwards, you begin to think, oh, that person that I worked with, they are good at this. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could call them and see if I can get some help. So there's a lot of friends that are made,
sure.
Good social time. Anytime you roll up your sleeves with another person, it's always a good time. And then the second reason is that as a person with a vocation in this building, oftentimes you are somewhat removed from those who are being helped with the ministry. And with Orphan Grain Train coming in, it gives you a physical action that is directly helping mm-hmm. the mission and ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and also with Orphan Grain Train. So it's hands-on experience mm-hmm. that you may not get. You may do that on the weekends, but to have your workplace support it, mm-hmm. reinforce it, sponsor it, it just takes it to a whole new level.
Sure. You get to, you know, we read about Orphan Grain Train, the great work that Orphan Grain Train is doing, but to have this opportunity to do the hands-on interaction and to be a part of what Orphan Grain Train is doing is just a great experience, I think, for us here at the International Center. And we have, those of us who work here at the International Center, have so many connections because we serve the whole synod and our partner churches around the globe as well. Not only does it build up our relationships here, but in our relationships with people around the synod and around the globe, we get to share with them from what we've learned from our experience with Orphan Grain Train as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well put.
Well, what are your responsibilities today? I know you need to get back in there with all the activities going on. What are some of your responsibilities with this event?
Well, with this event, it is, I've been floating quite a bit from station to station, helping load the boxes. I've worked the shrink wrap machine, which is fun. I'm going around offering water for people because once they're at their station, I've noticed that nobody's moving. They're working diligently. Removing boxes. I just finished vacuuming the floor to get ready for the second shift. And we have the food drive, as we mentioned earlier, that later this afternoon, let me take a step back. All week we've been gathering food mm-hmm. to support Historic Trinity and Soulard. They have a food pantry. And so we've been gathering food all week. And this afternoon, not only are we going to donate all the canned goods that we collected, but we're also going to donate the fresh food that we have remaining from this afternoon's picnic. So there's going to be some very well-fed individuals going down to Historic Trinity over the weekend.
Very good. And I had the privilege this year of being on part of the team that helped prepare some of the lunch for today. And that was a lot of fun. We stayed up most of the night smoking briskets for lunch today. So get to enjoy that. And I know you're heading out there to serve that here in just a little bit. I'll be out after the program as well today. I know you need to run. Blake, thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family and sharing with us about this opportunity to serve here at the LCMS International Center.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.
Well, let's talk about more about Orphan Grain Train. Thanks, Blake. Now, Mike, you've been with you came out of retirement to serve with Orphan Grain Train, didn't you?
I did.
And Karen, what did you think whenever he was talking about coming out of retirement to jump back in and working basically what full time with this, right?
Right. Before he took the job at the international headquarters, we did volunteer work for the Orphan Grain Train, and we did a lot of traveling, delivering goods to several reservations and missions along the Mexican border. And so when he came home one day and said, I've been offered a job in the office, and it means that we are going to have to move, I had to think about that a little bit.
You were thinking, okay, we've got retirement, we're coasting, we're just going to enjoy retirement. Are you enjoying retirement now?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Yes.
What have you, from your own personal experience now being so greatly involved in Orphan Grain Train, what have you learned from your involvement with Orphan Grain Train?
How wonderful it is to help those in need. Mm-hmm. It just gives you such a great satisfaction to know that you're doing the Lord's work for people that so desperately need it. And you just feel a lot of love in your heart. Mm-hmm. You just can't help but want to do more, to continue to do more.
Hmm. And you serve also with a sister organization, correct?
That's
Tell us a little bit about that.
Mercy Meals. We package food in a container that feeds six people. This is a very nutritionally balanced food product that has a long shelf life, and it is designed specifically to help those people around the world that are starving to the nourishment that they need to exist. Mm-hmm. And we have a warehouse and a packing station in Norfolk, and all of the product that we package, the Orphan Grain Train ships to various parts of the world. And I think it was just the other day that it was noted that we had just packaged our 5 millionth meal in Norfolk. And so starting out on a very small scale, we were, you know, very happy to realize that we'd finally reached that kind of a goal.
That's a big number.
Yes.
That's a lot of meals.
Yes.
Mike, share with us some of the stories from your time with Orphan Grain Train, being out and traveling and seeing to it that making sure things are done. Your time back in the office as well. Some of the stories that stand out for you.
Well, while we were volunteering, as Karen mentioned, we traveled around the country, and it was pretty simple. I drove their semi. Mm-hmm. And we went to a half a dozen destinations. That gave us a hands-on experience where we actually saw the people who we were helping. And that really changes your attitude about why these people need help. It's easy for us to think that they could help themselves if they tried harder, and that's not always the case. So the Lord tells us that we have to help the poor because the poor will always be with us. And so carrying that into action, we do what we do. Experiences, I should be writing a book, but I guess I would sum it up saying that it gives you a warm feeling, a really satisfied feeling to know that at the end of the day, what you have done might be putting clothing on someone who had none, or food in somebody's stomach who would have gone to bed hungry that night. So I recommend it highly. Retirement is okay, but the Bible, I don't think, says anything about retirement. And so I was retired for about 5 days, and then other things happened, and we view this as a call and a gift to be able to serve. Talents that we have each developed over our lifetimes are now being brought into play, and that really has a big effect on getting our job done, because we've had experience in some of these fields so that we're able to bring it together.
What are some of the more difficult things to ship? What are the things that are challenging? What are the easiest things to ship?
Well, probably the easiest thing to ship is clothing. And probably the most difficult thing to coordinate is medical equipment. Food can be, depending on the dietary restrictions in the countries that you're going to. India has varying dietary restrictions. Our food is classified as vegetarian. There are no animal products in it. So we can go just about anywhere in the world. The problems that you run into, with medical equipment is that you would not think that a hospital bed would have an expiration date on it. And that may be just a little bit of extreme, but it really brings into focus the fact that hospital equipment has expiration dates. And so a good example is a heart catheter. It's just looks like plastic tubing inside of a plastic bag, hermetically sealed, but it has an expiration date. Well, we have to be extremely cautious that we don't ship something that has an expiration date that's going to cause it to expire before it passes through customs. So that means that those types of things that are donated to us have to be screened, scrutinized, and then packaged accordingly. Anything that won't export, mm-hmm. we are able to take to the border because the missions across the border into Mexico are not as selective. So it doesn't go to waste. But we have to watch stuff like a hawk to make sure that we're not shipping anything that's out of compliance.
Sure, because then it's just all that work, all the material then is just a waste.
Well, what happens then, if we're out of compliance with a container, it becomes detained. And there will be a charge called demurrage. We'd call it storage. That container will be held for a period of time, during which time the fines run up several hundred dollars a day sometimes. When at some magic point, the authorities will decide, well, you've paid us enough. Now we'll let your container go.
And that means that that container's tied up, too, so you can't use it for other shipments.
Exactly. And so the ship line also assesses us a storage fee. So it's important to be right.
Sure. To be diligent in making sure that you're not shipping anything that has expired that meets all those requirements.
And that's part of what we're doing here today, making mm-hmm. sure that this clothing is properly labeled or unlabeled, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of the packing operations across the country for Orphan Grain Train do.
How can our listeners find out about Orphan Grain Train and help? What can they do?
OGT.org mm-hmm. is our website. All the information that you might be curious about is there. We have a lady in our office who will answer questions on the website. We always welcome financial donations. It costs between $10,000 and $20,000 to ship a container from Norfolk, Nebraska to a foreign country, depending on the country. So the costs of transportation are incredibly high. Mm-hmm. So we depend, everything we do is financed by donations from almost all of it from individuals.
Give us an idea of the path, the journey that a container would take from beginning to reaching its destination.
Sure.
How does it get there? How long? I know it can vary, obviously, with each one, but you mentioned, I think, Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
How long?
Well, let's take this load of clothing that we're going to pull out of here today.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It'll take it a day to get back to Norfolk, and then theoretically we could load that into a container next week. That container would leave Norfolk on a truck, go to a rail yard in Sioux City or Council Bluffs or Kansas City, travel by rail to a seaport, then it would be loaded on a ship, and the ship would carry it to the destination nation. 30 days, maybe 45 days in transit mm-hmm. would be a typical travel time.
So we're talking at least a month,
yes.
if not longer. Of travel time. Well, what just a neat organization. Thanks for bringing the truck here and giving us a chance to partner with Orphan Grain Train and be a part of this project. Do we know where, any idea, or can you share where this shipment is going, Jason?
Well, we are, the summer clothing that's in this load might go to Haiti or mm-hmm. Central America. We're very active in Nicaragua and Haiti, also in Africa. The clothing that's designated as winter will be set aside mm-hmm. and obviously go to a colder climate, which could be Eastern Europe.
Very good. Well, thank you for all the work that you're doing and for taking some time to come here to St. Louis and let us be a part of it today as well. Mike Widholm with Orphan Grain Train, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure.
Karen, thanks so much for being our guest and spending
thank
some
you.
Time and keeping him in line. I appreciate it. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more great programming, including Thy Strong Word. And don't forget, coming up April 23rd through the 25th, we've got a Share-a-thon going on. You don't want to miss out on that. Great guests and a variety of hosts, and we'll have a lot of fun as well. Great opportunity to partner with Worldwide KFUO. Stick around for Thy Strong Word up next on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand.